Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Let's go back. And so he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And then he did something weird. He breathed on them, which might have not have been the best experience because he'd been dead for 3 days. But there you go. He did. But there was something different about this, because in that breath, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. There was something for them to receive in it. Just like when God spoke, he breathed out on creation. His words brought everything into being. The Holy Spirit went to work as Jesus spoke. And he said, receive this. And so what I want us to realize is when he said, receive the Holy Spirit, it was the person of God he was breathing into his disciples. And it's crucial that we get this, guys, that when we talk about the Holy Spirit and that as the presence of God, that he is not on his own. We worship a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a Trinity. He is three persons in one Godhead. So when you get the Holy Spirit, the Father is there, Jesus is there, we must never part them. And so it's a receiving here. God is breathing into them the fullness of God. Jesus is telling us something absolutely astonishing here. What he's revealing is that Jesus was coming to live in the hearts of his people. He was birthing a new humanity. With authority, he said, if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. And he passed that on to us with the gospel message. There was authority that came with it. There is power that came with it. It was a new existence that we are called to be together. God and us together. God now living in the hearts of man. And they knew it. They knew that there was a transformation. There was something that had gone on in their hearts. And now I've prayed for a few hundred people now to receive Jesus into their hearts like that. And you know what? Every single time that we pray for that, it's the most wonderful experience for somebody. Can I hear, see your thumbs up if it was a wonderful experience for you when you did that? It's just the most amazing thing. And Romans 5:5 describes this, says this, that what happens there, God's love has now been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So you imagine it now, if you could see it, God seated on the throne, he is there, there is a throne, there is a place in the heavenlies that God is now, and his heart is pouring his love out into your heart. If you would receive it, he pours it out. And I can remember, for me, it was the most wonderful feeling I've ever had. I felt every burden lifted off me. I felt so free inside. I felt this presence that was far greater than any alcohol session I've had, any drug I put in my body, any great feeling I've ever had in my life. This is far, far greater than that. It was just amazing. It was a time right there at that moment, I knew God knew me personally. I knew he knew my name. He knew everything about me, yet he still loved me. He cared for me. And his presence was so real in my heart for the first time. And I knew that he was delighted in me, which really surprised me, because I really hadn't, up until that time, led a very good life at all. I'm doing a little bit better now. I do intend to improve. It's a working process, like all of us. But the thing is, God is still pouring his Spirit out upon us now, especially when we gather together like this. And when he comes in power like that, when his presence comes upon us, it's a different experience every time. I mean, we have extremes of God will do one thing one time and another thing another. I know I've seen it so many times where the presence of God comes upon us and people start to weep and people start to cry. And you think, what is that? If that's God, what's going on there? Well, I'll tell you what's going on there. That God wants to deal with people's past hurts, the things that have happened in life that crush you, that you're carrying around that burden, maybe something that happened years ago that you can't forget, that a smell will remind you of it, a noise will remind you of it. Anything slight will take you back to that moment and it's ruining your life. Well, God wants to remove that. He wants to take the pain and deal with those things in your heart so that you become fully the person he created you to be. These things will stop you. So as the presence of God comes sometimes, and I've been there many times myself, and I know big men of God that have been the same, and ladies, and it's just the most wonderful feeling, because afterwards, you know what? The pain is gone. The pain, and that's what he wants to do. But then on the other side, I've seen it so many times, where God's joy comes. And people just end up laughing. And sometimes people can say, how can that be God when everyone's just laughing? It looks so disrespectful. Well, it might look disrespectful, but actually it's part of who God is. He made us to be joyful because he is joyful, and we are to receive that. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a joy-filled heart is good medicine. So it does us good. And who knows, we need it right now. You know, I can remember being in a small group. I've run small groups for about 20 or 30 years now, and I absolutely love them. Well, I never knew about this joy being poured out like that. And we were having a meeting, and all of a sudden someone started to laugh, and I thought, well, that's a bit disrespectful, and then another one, and then another one. And then all of a sudden the whole group is in this absolute laughter that they couldn't stop, and it went on all night. It didn't matter how often we tried to get back to the word and get serious, God didn't want us to. He just wanted us to be filled with, he wanted to give us good medicine. He knew before learning about any more, he wanted us to learn about his joy. And then there was another time when I was in Westminster Chapel, you know, the center of all theology it was for so many years. And we were there with about 1,000 other church leaders from around the world, Bible preachers and all that. And all of a sudden, Nick, sitting next to me and Deb, was this guy. And he started to laugh. And I thought, oh, no, what's going on? And then he fell over. And he's laughing and laughing. And then this, and I thought, I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to. And then all of a sudden, this bunch of guys up the top started laughing. And then these guys over here. Within about 5 minutes, the whole place was absolutely belly laughing. For about 20 minutes, you just couldn't stop it. And again, it's God showing that part of who he is joy. And so this isn't your own joy I'm talking about. This is the joy of God being poured out into our hearts. And so the presence of God brings us joy. And so let me ask now, who would like to receive a bit of joy right now in your front room? Hands up if you'd like to. All right. Well, just if you've never done this before, just open your hands a little bit and just, I'm going to ask God to come right now and pour his joy into your heart. Lord, let come. Lord, pour out that joy. Lord, like the time in Westminster Chapel, the time in the group. That's it. That's it. More of you, Holy Spirit. Bring your joy, God. Bring your joy. Lord, we're sorry for the things we've done wrong. Oh, but God, you died on a cross to forgive us, that we could be forgiven of that. And then it would open the floodgates to your joy, to your presence into our hearts. We receive you afresh. More of you, God. More of you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just keep pressing in there, guys. Pressing in there. Pressing in there. More, God. More, Holy Spirit. More of that joy at this time. More of that joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Adrian, I just believe I can see the Lord all over you. And I know that you're putting yourself at risk with the job that you do. And you need to hear that the Lord is full of joy, because your heart is to look after those that are vulnerable, those that are in need. He sees you looking after people made in his own image. And he's so pleased with you, Adrian, so pleased. Let's all keep Adrian in our prayers, and Lloyd DaCosta, because they're on the front line driving people about. And Lord, protect them and give them joy at this time. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give the whole family joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You see, the truth is this, is that when the Holy Spirit comes, again, Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, to give the fullness of God comes on us like that, generally, we don't really know what God is doing. We don't. I've experienced it so often. But what we do know is that once his presence has left us, that our lives are changed. We're different afterwards. Maybe we're more peaceful. I believe we will be after today. More joyful. I believe we will be after today, because that's the work that God is doing in our hearts right now. Maybe bolder to share the gospel and the good news. Maybe you get freedom from an addiction or a habit or a way that you just don't want to do it like that anymore. And God will give you freedom. But one thing's for sure, you will feel closer to him. And church, we've got to bang this drum, because this is biblical Christianity. We've got to relearn what Christianity is all about. It's not about a stuffy religion. This is what Jesus brought in. He brought himself into the world that he would come into our hearts by faith like that. You know, when God's presence come upon us, it was the early church. They didn't say, have you become a Christian? They didn't say that. They said, have you received the Spirit? It was the main theme. They knew that. They knew the presence. And they knew such a different presence in their own life. They said, have you received that? And that is what we're to carry around. But I believe at this time, this is what God wants for us more than anything. He wants us to become more aware of his presence in our lives. We can't see it. It's an invisible work, but it goes on just the same. And he wants to heighten our awareness of that. Every single moment of the day, mindful of him. It's a bit like this. It's like when you walk past a baker's, you're kind of aware that there's fresh bread being baked. But when that door swings open and you can smell the fresh bread, I don't know about you, but I love fresh bread, you are so much more aware of the presence of fresh bread there. Well, this is what God wants. He wants to trigger something in us, ignite something in us, put something in us that is so much more aware of his presence. And we see this in the Old Testament. We see it with Jacob, who in a certain moment became aware of God's presence with him where he wasn't before. And he said this in Genesis 28. He said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. He didn't know it, but then all of a sudden, when he focused on God, for us, when we focus our affections on him, the Holy Spirit comes quickly to be with us. And so he wants us to be aware, live our lives aware of the fullness of Christ within. Because the truth is that Christ is in us and wants to be with us. He's ready right now to comfort those who are, when we're in need. He is the comforter, the Bible says. He's in us to guide us and point us in the right direction and put us on the right path in life, just like he did in Acts 13:2, when he said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. So it was the Holy Spirit that said that. He had a work for them to do, and he told the leaders of the church that. And also He wants to empower us, as you look at Jude 20, where we're supposed to build ourselves up in the Holy Spirit, speaking that language that God has placed in each one of us, and build ourselves up. And also that he wants to communicate the Father's love for us, in that inside us we have that Spirit saying, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. It means I want to go home. It means I don't belong here. It means I want to be with you. It communicates his love. Whatever you're going through, if you focus on Jesus, you receive that love afresh. And he wants to speak to you as well. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. The only prerequisite to this is that you're a sheep, and then you will hear his voice. So the idea isn't that you strain to hear his voice. The idea is you come close to Jesus. You delight in him. You build this intimacy through the word and prayer. And when you get to know him, you will hear his voice. That's how it works. And so, church, Christ is in us for every single area of our life. And he wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to do great things in our lives, at home or at work, wherever we are. It's now your life is you and God together, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The question comes this then. Okay, how do you experience God doing great things in your life? How do you do that? The answer is very easy. You expect it. You expect your God wants to do great things with you. That's what he created you for. You are a world changer. Can I hear an amen or thumbs up or something to that? Wave, anything. You are already changing the world that you're in. It's just to what extent? And so you ask yourself, just know this. When you step out in faith, it's not your reputation that's at stake. It's his. So every time you step out in faith, you'll find that he's there because it's his reputation. He told us to do it. And he will back it up. So I was thinking about that, and I thought, London, well, why is it that people like Colin and Sam and Linda Ballett get to see God doing so much more in their lives than most of the rest of us? Why is that? Is it because they're special? Well, actually, we know one or two of them are very special, but that's another sermon. Okay, so, but it isn't that. Do you know the reason why they see so much happen? It's because they go for it. That's it. You've got all the power in heaven behind you. It's time to go for it. They go for it and they see God do stuff, take risks. Colin Moore with seeing people get healed and miracles. Linda Ballack, she's always seeing people saved. She just doesn't tell us. I get to know. But hear this. The Romans 8:11 says this, that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is now in you. It's in each one of us. And so we go out in our lives expectant to see God do stuff. Just like the woman who had the problem with bleeding for years, as soon as she touched Jesus, as soon as she stepped out in faith, she was healed. And so we are to do the same. Ask and you will find, get it. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Are you seeking things? Are you looking? Are you knocking at the door? Because you will find each one. And I'll finish with this. The last thing the Holy Spirit brings, the presence of God brings, is hope. Hope. And at a time like this, where the virus is taking so many lives, is taking so many into hospital, and half the world is in lockdown, with the future so unsure, people are living in fear. People are living in anxiety, frightened of losing their job, frightened of losing money, frightened of their business would go under, frightened that their health would go, or maybe that they would lose a loved one, or maybe even that you would lose your own life. You see, now is the time we need to hear them words from Jesus afresh. Peace be with you. and receive my Holy Spirit. He is our peace. Christ in us is our peace. And we've got to hold on to the hope that he has placed in us, knowing that even if the worst happens, that death comes knocking on our door and we're taken at this moment, that Jesus has defeated death. Jesus died, we crucified him, but death could not contain him. He came through that and said that those that follow me, you too will rise again. You too will come to be with me. And if death comes knocking at the door, we know at that moment that all that death is a vehicle to take us from here into the presence of God forever. This hope, all hope, is so important for the human heart. Did you know that you can only survive 40 days without food? You can only survive 3 days without water. Wouldn't recommend it, but apparently that's true. Or even worse, you can only survive 8 minutes without air. But you can't survive 1 minute without hope. Your heart needs hope. My heart needs hope. The problem is that people go looking for it in all the different places, the wrong places. They look into their hope with perhaps their family or with their relationships or with the wealth that they got. My hope is in that. That will look after me. Well, it can be gone in a day, God says. Or the stuff that you've got around you, the homes that you've got, is where your hope is. Or maybe you've gone running off to a self-help book. Truth is, there's only one place that you can find real hope, and that's through Jesus. It says to here, Romans 15:13, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace through faith in him, that by the power of the Holy Spirit that is now in you, you may abound in hope, that you may be full of hope, and that hope may flow out of your lives. Guys, that's what Easter is all about. That's what Jesus came, died, and rose again for, that we would know this. Today, right now, God wants to fill our hearts with his love. Picture that. Just take yourself there with his love, with his joy, and with his peace, and with his presence. That's why he didn't come down from the cross, so that he could give us that. That he would take the sins of the whole world that were actually placed in his body and punished in him when he died in that way. Your sin, my sin. Can you imagine that, what he felt like for him? Yeah, imagine this. The worst thing that you've ever done. How did you feel the next day, the next morning? You felt lousy. You felt horrible. Imagine the sin of the whole world being placed on one person. And at that moment, he felt that lousiness of everyone's sin of all time in his body. And he'd never known any sin, any lousiness. He was pure and perfect. It's what took him to his death. But he did it for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. And so, if you've never received Jesus in your life, if you've never received this love of God, he didn't make it hard. We just repent of our sins, accept he died for you, not the world, you. Do life his way and ask him into your heart and he will come. If you do know Jesus, like so many of us do, in this way, and you want a fresh filling of God and his love, and his kindness and goodness and everything else, and filled with joy. If you want that fresh filling, follow me in prayer now. So if you don't know him and it's your first time, if you do know, we're going to walk through a prayer together. If you follow me, it's good to do this because we're going to receive something today. Forget about the eggs, guys. This is the real thing you're going to get now. The egg points to the real thing. Okay, follow me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Give you time to say it as well. Follow me. God, I'm sorry that I've been fretting. I'm sorry that I've been in fear. I'm sorry that I put my hope in so many other things than you. I turn to you afresh. I come to you, the rock of my salvation. You can never be taken from me, Lord. That's why I'm not fretting. That's why I'm not worried. But I thank you that you went through the cross to forgive me, that I could receive that. I thank you that you did it just for me. And I receive that forgiveness into my heart. Some for the first time. Some, we all need forgiving every day. We all need our feet washing, as Jesus said. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Please come into my heart to be with me by your Holy Spirit forever. I receive that gift. I receive the joy. I receive the love that comes with you. I receive the goodness that you are, God. I receive the happiness as I see your heart. You delight in me. Why me? But you do, God. You know my name and everything about me. I rejoice that you've got a good plan and a good purpose for my life. And I put all my hope in you again, and some for the first time, knowing that you're a good God. And however, whenever my time comes to leave this world, I don't have to fear that day, because you overcame death. And there is a place in heaven for me, a place with my name on it. It's more real to me than the stuff around me. Whatever I've amassed or gathered adds up to nothing and will be burnt up and left. But I will receive a new body on that day. I will come to be with you forever on that day, where there's no more tears, no more sickness, no more suffering ever. Just your presence, where I see you eye to eye and feel your love and the love of others forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, guys. Thank you, guys. What we're going to do now is, in a minute, I'm going to unblock you all so you could say goodbye. But we are going to break out into our small groups. If you're in a small group, you'll break out. You'll already have your link. If you've been invited in by someone in a small group, get them to help you to go into that small group, just so that we could discuss what was said and actually receive even a bit more of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's like. God just wants to keep giving more and more. If you're not in a group, can you please stay where you are, and we can have a little open chat? Is that okay?